I'm delighted to say we've now been joined live in the studio by the Barnsley chief executive, Ben Mansford. He's going to be answering some of your questions and discussing the Reds and other footballing matters over the course of the next hour as well. Ben, thanks a lot for joining us today. Really appreciate it. I'm sure the Barnsley fans do as well. But just how busy is this time of year for a chief executive? We've had a bit of a break now from the end of the Championship season. Are you fully sort of hands-on now in preparing for next year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've had a couple of Saturdays without football, so the next best... Well, is it right to say the next best thing was to be here today? But, yeah, absolutely. I mean, having been the other side of the fence less than 12 months ago from the agent side, you've got your to-do list in terms of the players you've got to place, the players that you think are good enough to move on. And as a club, you come up with similar lists on the other side. So, yes, it's very busy. Danny had a few days away last week, so did I. And it doesn't stop now, and nor should it. What happened last season has gone, and now the exciting part is rebuilding and coming back stronger for next year.
We had a range of questions from Barnsley fans. We appealed yesterday for you to send these in, and thanks to everybody who did. There were quite a few that were on a similar theme. We'll get into those in a moment. Incredibly, we had a tweet from Hugo Collash, former Barnsley midfielder, who said he wanted to re-sign for the football club, which a lot of people responded to that. A bit of a mixed response when he got in touch with me on that. But a lot of people sort of sending in similar messages. Kieran and Stuart, for example, summed up a lot of the questions that we got. Is there any news yet on the out-of-contract players, the likes of Jacob Mellis and Sivka, O'Brien and Dawson? And are there going to be any new signings on the horizon? Because a couple of clubs have started to sign players within the region. Are Barnsley close to doing any business?
I think there was two elements of that, wasn't there? There was the four that were offered, and there was new business. If we take the four that were offered, the one thing that I can confirm is that Stephen Dawson has turned down the offer that we made him. And that's something that, knowing I was coming on here today, I've sort of discussed with the board and the manager, and we're happy to let the fans know now. So Stephen has, through his representative, let us know that the offer of re-engagement wasn't acceptable to him. So that's gone now. We move on.
He won't be. There's no chance then of further negotiations with it.
Not from our side, no. We made an offer that we felt was right, that we felt was in keeping of where we're at. And Stephen's representative, you know, quite correctly on his behalf, you know, sent us an email saying that offer was rejected. That's gone as far as we're concerned.
Is it a blow though? Because I mean, as one of the players you'd offer deals to, Danny has spoken very highly of Stephen Dawson. So how would you? I mean, is it a blow at this stage?
I don't think we talk about anything negative. What's incredibly important, given the disappointment. And I'm sure the fans are still feeling that, of last year, is we don't want anybody that doesn't want to be at Barnsley and isn't happy with coming into work every day at Barnsley and what they're being paid and the contract and the situations in which they find themselves at. Stephen was nothing, as far as I could see, but 100% committed. He's been played a lot of games for the club and value for money, you know, you could argue he was good for that. We put something to him that we felt was right. Stephen, through his representative, has said that's not acceptable to him. It's done. We move on.
In terms of the others then, is there any update on the Mellis, Sivka and O'Brien offers?
No, there's been probably an indication maybe from O'Brien's representative, but I wouldn't want to sort of prejudge that one or be too trigger happy on that at this moment in time. Just so the fans are aware, and probably other fans of other clubs, in the main those offers have to be left open for a month, a calendar month. So on the basis, the vast majority of our letters went out on the 13th. I guess sort of the 12th, 13th of June will be the cut-off for most of those. If I was an agent in the main, I think I'd probably keep them sat open for acceptance until such time I was absolutely sure that was the right thing to do. Stephen obviously must have other opportunities. I'm quite happy to wish him well with that. And what we've got to do now is go and recruit that squad, support Danny, and make sure that come the start of the season, we bring players in who want to be with our football club, who are going to improve our football club, and equally are not going to stand in the way of our talented young players progressing this year.
Jack wanted to know sort of what is the sort of the time frame on this, and you've answered that with saying that, you know, they usually have a month to do this. I mean, the question that I would sort of build off that is, if those players don't come back to you and they do leave it sort of to the last minute, is there a chance that you could go out and maybe fill those spots and then those offers come back off the table? Or is it a case of, you know, you are willing to wait until the middle of June to try and keep those three players?
I think the Football League and the regulations sort of put in place that, that they stay over there, which is why, I think there's two comments on that, which is why you see a little bit of business occur, as you have done. See, Leicester were quite active yesterday. That you see a little bit of business occur, and I did from both sides, through until the playoffs. So until this weekend. After this weekend, you then find from the owners, chairman, chief execs, managers, players in particular, and agents do tend to then sort of go away. What you then find is that second or third week in June, clubs that aren't involved in the playoffs have probably, those managers, those members of staff, those clubs have been quiet for 4 to 6 weeks. The manager then gets back, invariably, as a look at the whiteboard in your studio, the whiteboard the manager might look at, and I've got three centre-halves, but I don't have a right-back. So all of a sudden, it kicks in. That second, third, fourth week of June, the couple of weeks before pre-season, that's when the managers start thinking, right, OK, I might have been juggling four right-backs. Now I need to see if I can get my first one on the list. If I can't get my first, my second and third. Agents on behalf of players are doing the same. So I don't see mid-June being a problem. I also think if you look, and I've done this over the last 2 or 3 years, the finance outside of the clubs in the Championship with parachute payments has calmed. Salary cap management protocol, SCMP, as I'm starting to get to abbreviate it to, has kicked in Leagues 1 and Leagues 2, which has calmed the finance in League 1. So I think if you look on the transfer section of the BBC football website, I won't mention the other ones because I know I'm not allowed to on air, there is a lot less transfers occurring at this time of year than there has been, and in general. So I would say that mid-June is a good point and a good time for us to know about those players, and that the number of transfers this early in the year is calming.
Dave sent a question in. He said, why hasn't there been any transfers so far, despite an initial remark that an early bird season ticket deal will enable some activity quickly in the off-season?
Yep, I think over the next couple of weeks, which comes on to the new business part of the question, Danny and myself are sitting down with a short list of players that are new to our football club. And I think whilst we are keen to get one or two of the bits of business done that we'd like sooner rather than later, we equally want to make sure we get them at the right price for the football club. So is there a lot of work happening? Yes. Danny and I meeting with players next week and the week after? Yes. And then it's making sure that we get them at the right value. So the early bird offering was there to, I think, clearly provide a reduction for whatever league we're in. If we're in the Championship, we felt that it was a reward for maybe the season that we'd had. And if we went down, that a 10% reduction still gave us the ability to competitively price League One season tickets. Our season tickets in the Championship would have still been very competitive in League One last year. So, yes, there's a lot of activity happening, but given the sheer number of players that are getting released and the number of players that I don't think we'll be able to secure Championship contracts, whilst we want to do our business early, we also want to do the right business to make sure that our budget gets as much quality and goes as far as it can.
This is one of the issues, isn't it, that having spoken to a number of our clubs have been in League One over the last few years, that a lot of them have talked about is that players get released and maybe have expectations that they're going to be picked up by the Championship, or that a good offer is just around the corner if they wait there, you know, a few weeks into the summer. Is there an opportunity, and do clubs have to kind of in League One accept that there's going to be better opportunities later in the summer when maybe those deals don't come and players have to start looking at their alternatives?
Yeah, I mean, I think having spent 6 years at Wasserman at WMG, which in my opinion is one of the better agencies, I can't be critical of agents having been one for 6 years and before that as a lawyer representing players. But what you do find is that there's, just like every profession, there's good ones and bad ones. And you get some good agents who know value, know the player's value, know what makes the players tick, knows the player's family unit, and advises the players that, look, there's an offer there, it's early, it's not quite what you wanted, but I'm telling you, that's the market value. If you can get 2 years through maybe dropping down a division and getting some security for you and your family, go and do it. You obviously also have the other agents who think that if a player's on a free transfer, that's their opportunity to hike up the agency fee involved because there's no transfer fee. And they're hanging on, and they're hanging on, and they're maybe presenting less than the real picture or advice that isn't quite correct. So I think with myself, with Danny's experience, with Chris Hutchins, Mark Crosley and Paul Eckenbottom on the staff who have got a variety of experience between them, Maurice Watkins obviously with a vast amount of experience as well, we're in a really good position to pitch offers at the right time to get the right players. And I think we know what players are out there. We know that, yes, you know, we're not going to get everyone on our list, and we might not get the first choice in everyone on our list. So it is a waiting game. There is better value as things go along, as people start to think, because just like players might be playing clubs, it works the other way. So if for example, I don't want to talk about a player because the next thing is going to go viral on social media. But
feel free though if you want to drop a name.
Yeah, no. Well, if you like a player, an agent knows his player's number two on a club's list, but he's sort of keeping the player because he thinks that if that one drops for him, it's a better payday, if you like. And then all of a sudden that goes, you know, that player becomes and that agent becomes anxious. So there's for a multi million pound business, there's a lot of gamesmanship and brinksmanship being played, and I feel and I know that we've got the right football staff, the right board and the right ownership to make sure that we'll do the best value for Barnsley over the coming weeks.
We're speaking to the Barnsley chief executive Ben Mansford live on BBC Radio Sheffield. We did have a lot of questions sent in yesterday and this morning, but if you've got a question that you want to send out there, please feel free, either send them to my Twitter account, you can email them to footballheaven@bbc.co.uk. You can text them to 81333. Make sure you start your message with Sheffield. And if you want to give Jamie a call, who's producing today, on 011-4279-6699, he will pass those questions on. I've had a couple more sent in as well that are very specific, which we'll get into, Ben, as well.
Okay.
And a couple of other broader issues with Barnsley as well, and perhaps into the Football League, that we're going to get into as well in a few moments.